The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
There may be something that's causing somebody to even sit on their praise, something that has them shackled, something that's causing a debilitation. It's causing you to sit on your hands of praise and thanksgiving. But if you can't do nothing else, every now and then you can just wave your hand. Even if you can't muscle up a word, you can just wave your hand and tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being just that good. Aches and pains in your body, but God is still good. Stuff that's racking and rolling around in your head and your mind, but God is still that good. And so even if you can't clap your hands, can you just give God a wave? So he knows that there's some folk who are alive and well in this house. For the Bible says that he wants to set up and dwell in the praises of his people. Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus, declaring that this is none other than the house of God, declaring that this is your house and that your presence is in this place. Lord, turn this place into an upper room, where we can be on one accord, more than just colors, more than pink, more than purple, but we need to be on one accord in our spirits, recognizing that while we may not have done everything right and been so good, you are always right and still just that good. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for blessing us to live and to see this day, and for blessing us not just on yesterday and this past week, but down through the years. You've been good to us. As a matter of fact, you've been faithful, oh so faithful. And for that, we say thank you. Now, Father God, it is our hope and it is our prayer that everything that has been said or done in this place has been pleasing unto your sight. Even now, to God, we bow humbly in submission to your presence and your spirit. As a matter of fact, we take our proverbial shoes off, for this is holy ground. Lord, we seek your presence right now in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, if we ever needed to hear a word from you, we surely need one right now. We need one in these days and times. We need to hear your voice. You're not always in the earthquake. You're not always in the lightning. But every now and then, you're that still, quiet voice, that still, small voice, Lord. And sometimes it's hard to hear you. You said, but my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. So, Lord, we're trying to hear a word from you. Lord, even as I stand in your vessel, Lord, I recognize that I'm earthen, that I'm an earthen clay with the treasure that is inside of me. So Lord, speak to me and speak through me. As a matter of fact, Lord, I decrease that you would increase. And Lord, we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And it is truly in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. And let every heart say amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 10. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you would please do so. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, the 28th through the 31st verse. This morning I've chosen to read from the New Living Translation. However, regardless of what translation you have, NIV, New King James, I declare I'm in the Word of God. So would read ever just so slightly. I believe they already also now have it up on the screen, and so you can follow along. The Word says as such, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. Coach V, did you hear me? Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. That'll speak to cancer too. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Just in case there was somebody here who didn't believe in a place called hell, is right there in the Word of God. Jesus himself speaks about a place called hell. He says, fear only God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows, one copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your father knowing it. The very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. I'm about to speak in somebody's spirit right now. For just a little while on this afternoon with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, if his eye is on the sparrow. Come on, somebody. Y'all didn't hear me this morning. I said, if his eye is on the sparrow. Come on, somebody. I know you might be discouraged today. You might have some problems, some stresses, and some strains. But if your eye is on the sparrow, maybe your finances, your relationships, or your circumstances are struggling right now. But if his eye is on the sparrow. That's just some stuff you need to know. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen, amen, and amen. If his eye is on the sparrow. Title of this message is inspired by the famous gospel song by the same name. His eye is on the sparrow. The song was written by a woman named Sevilla Martin back in the early 1900s, believe it or not. That song is still one of the most beloved Christian songs in the world and was seemingly made famous by a woman named Ethel Waters, who used it as the title of her autobiography. There have been many singers who have recorded it, to include the late Whitney Houston. But Sister Stephanie, the song seemed to enjoy a boost and even a revival when Lauryn Hill, come on somebody, sang it in Sister Act 2. You know the words, do you remember? Know the words of that beautiful song? Matter of fact, just in case you forgot, here they are. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing, come on somebody, because I'm happy. Anybody in here happy? Says I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches me. The lyrics of that song are actually taken from the words of Jesus recorded right here in Matthew 10, 28 through 31. Teach, Holy Ghost. And as beautiful and moving and stirring as that song is, there is a message that Jesus is communicating to us today. And it is sure enough a message that we need to hear in these days and times that we are living in, with everything going on in and around our world. The message that Jesus is communicating, healing, not only to his disciples then, but to those of us as his disciples today. The message is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. As a matter of fact, he starts this section by saying, don't be afraid. Then he concludes with the same message. Don't be afraid. Let me ask you, and you don't have to answer me back, but what is it that's got you afraid right now? What is it that you are afraid of? Heard it being bantered about in this morning's Sunday school, and the fact of the matter is there are many different kinds of fears, and we all handle them different ways. There are a few to name. There's fear of separation and loneliness. That can come by way of death, divorce, abandonment, etc. Somebody right now is feeling fear of separation or the thought of being alone. For some, it's just the fear of the unknown. There is fear of pain. There are some people probably sitting either if not next to you, in front, behind, or around you that are suffering in some pain right now. Debilitating pain that we probably have no idea. And not all pain is physical. Come on, somebody. There's some mental and some emotional pains that folk are fearing. There's the fear of sickness or disease. There's the fear of abuse. It's fear of loss. When I talk about loss, that can come as the loss of your image or your reputation, loss of friendship. For some folk, it's just the loss of control. But I'm here, my brothers and my sisters, with a word from the Lord, a message of reassurance and hope for each and every one of us. He's telling you, he's telling me, he's telling us, Sister Lewis, that we don't have to be afraid. As a matter of fact, Jesus gives us three powerful reasons right here in this text. Three powerful reasons why we can say, I'm not afraid. As a matter of fact, can you just take a moment right now and speak that into your spirit and just declare over yourself, I'm not afraid. Come on, you need to say it with conviction. You need to say it with conviction. You need to convince the devil. The devil ain't convinced because you don't sound convinced. But you need to speak to the prince of the air and say it like you mean it. Say, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. That'll speak to whatever it is. I'm not afraid. If it's physical, mental, emotional, financial, relational, whatever. I'm not afraid. But why aren't you afraid? Just because you said, remember, the devil, listen, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee, but we don't know how far he's going to go. So you're only resisting him just for a moment, but he ain't convinced why we're not so afraid. So point number one I want to make why we're not afraid is I'm not afraid because the worst thing that can happen in this life is the death of my body, and I'm an eternal soul. As a matter of fact, I know you're trying to take notes and write it down. I need you to speak that into yourself. If you can see the screen, can you say it? Go say it, repeat it just like it is. Say, I'm not afraid. Go ahead and read it. Speak that over yourself. I'm not afraid because the worst thing that can happen in this life is the death of my body, and I am an eternal soul. Earlier in the same chapter of Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sent out his disciples. He sent them out with the warning that they were going to be going out like sheep among wolves. Do I have any Bible readers in the house? And he sent them out, said, you're going to be like sheep among wolves, and there would be some enemies who were going to arrest them and even try to kill them. But then he says right here in verse 28, he says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. Fear can be a debilitating force in your life. The Greek word for fear is phobos, where we get our English word phobia. Now, while I could not convincingly find an exact number of the different kinds of phobias, I did find that there were at least 254 recognized forms of phobia. As a matter of fact, according to Psychology Today, a magazine, the five most common fears of Americans are, number one, arachnophobia. That's the fear of spiders. There is glossophobia, fear of speaking in public. There is aerophobia, that's the fear of flying. There's claustrophobia, that's the fear of confined spaces. And then there's acrophobia, and that's the fear of heights. Now I'm not just here to throw out statistics, but Brother Miller, what I thought about was the fact that Jesus told the disciples not to be afraid, even though they faced the threat of death. So look at the top five of our most common fears. The common thread, if you look at them, is the fear of death. I mean, to those of you who say, I got arachnophobia. I got a fear of spiders. There are some grotesque looking species of spiders. But the reason why most people are afraid of spiders, as not so cute as they are, but what they heard is that people have been bitten by poisonous spiders and they're afraid of dying. Amen. I mean, there are some people who say, I'm afraid of flying, but the fear is not so much that they're afraid of flying as they are afraid of crashing. And if you crash, that means you fear dying. People say, I'm afraid, I have claustrophobia. Well, I get it. You can get claustrophobia if you get folks sitting too close to you. Come on, somebody. But the problem is that they actually get this fear and they feel like they're suffocating. Amen. The only one, Sister Marshall, the only one of the top five phobias that doesn't threaten you physically is public speaking. But there are some people who would rather die. Come on, somebody. Than speak in public. Prince, I'm not talking about you. I just need some help, Doc. There are some people who would rather die than speak in public. I don't mind saying a few words, but I don't want to give a speech. Amen. Jesus says, we don't have to fear those who can kill the body. With the continuation of the threat of terrorist attacks, foreign and domestic, there are a whole lot of people who are uneasy. They're living in fear that there will be another imminent attack. Matter of fact, I just got a news alert that there was another attack in another foreign land, another country, over 180-something people killed. Amen. People being attacked, going to movie theaters, open-air venues at concerts, sports venues, public square, etc. People are afraid to even go out anymore because they're afraid of dying. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. The worst they can do is kill your body. There are hundreds of verses, if you will, in God's word encouraging us not to be afraid. As a matter of fact, one of my personal favorites is found in the 27th Psalm, verses 1 and 2. Again, in the New Living Translation, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? Jesus says, fear only God. Fear him, for he is the one who can destroy both soul and the body in hell. So I need to tell somebody this, because there's a whole lot of angst, there's a whole lot of consternation as a result of some news, that some stuff that made the news as a result of a man. Don't be afraid of any man. The power that he wants you to fear with the stroke of a pen, or threats to your livelihood. Message to you and to me today is you just have to have a holy, awe-inspiring reverence for God. For he is the one who is all-powerful. Even when the doctors are confused about your medical report, don't fear what they said. You fear the one who's got your soul hanging in the balance. Amen. Even the doctor's doctors need Jesus. And if you're putting that kind of faith in the doctors and not that much faith in Jesus, that's all he's saying. I'm not saying don't take your medication. I'm not saying don't go get the surgery. But after you made that decision in prayer, then you put it in God's hands. Say, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Here's the second reason why Jesus says you can say, I'm not afraid. Because if God cares enough to number my hairs, he cares about the other details of my life too. I'm not afraid. Why? Because if God cares enough to number my hairs, he cares about the other details of my life as well. Amen. We all know, I heard it again this morning, that God so loved the world, the idea that he gave a son. We know that he loves us collectively, but have you ever stopped to realize that the same God who hung the moon, the same God who placed the stars in the sky, loves you personally. That same God loves you personally. Have you ever stopped to think that he cares for you so much that Jesus said he has numbered the hairs on your head? 1 Peter 5:7 said, cast all your cares or your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. God not only knows, he cares. Let me ask you another question. And again, you don't have to answer me back. But why do you or do we sometimes think that there are issues too trivial to bring to the Lord in prayer? I'll ask it again. Why do you sometimes think that there are issues too trivial for you to bring to the Lord in prayer? We make a big mistake if we think that there's anything too small or too insignificant or not so important to where we don't want to bother God to bring to him. If he cares about your hair, and I ain't talking about your split ends. Come on, somebody. But if he cares about your hair, wait a minute, I need to talk to some of y'all that's done shaved. There's still some hair up under there because you got to shave every other day. Come on, somebody. If he cares about your hair, he cares about everything in your life. God knows things about you even you don't know. God Almighty. In other words, you've heard it said before, God knows you better than you know yourself. Say, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because the worst thing that can happen in this life is the death of my body. And I'm an eternal soul. I'm not afraid because if God cares enough to number my hairs, he cares about the other details of my life. But finally, another reason why Jesus says, don't be afraid, and why we can say, I'm not afraid, is because if God cares about a sparrow who falls, he won't stop loving you when you fail. I say it again. Matter of fact, I want you to speak that one while you're writing it down, because that'll speak to somebody right now. Go ahead and read it right on. Just say, I'm not afraid. Read it. Sparrows are some of the most plentiful common birds in the world. Where you find people, Sister Miller, you find sparrows. As a matter of fact, I read that they only live in populated areas because they are scavengers of leftovers. Sparrow will hop up to you at the outdoor restaurant and wait for the crumbs. The thing is, though, Sister Burton, is they aren't known for their beautiful colors, and they also aren't known for their sweet songs. But Jesus said, two sparrows sell for a penny. My God. A penny, some of y'all don't even want to keep penny. Y'all get somewhere and it's a penny, you say, keep the change. Turn to your neighbor and say, you gone, big spender. $0.99, you give him a dollar, you say. Penny is our smallest coin, but can I teach? Can I go beyond? Can I go below the text? The actual word that Jesus meant, he used here in the Greek, meant actually a fourth of a penny. In other words, two sparrows would sell for half a penny. Sister Keeling, I thought about that. I thought, wouldn't it make better sense if Jesus had said, God knows when every eagle falls? Why an eagle? Because eagles are majestic birds. But Jesus used sparrows. So what is God saying to us, Sister Graham? Because he didn't say an eagle. He said a sparrow. Jesus was making a point that God cares for the most common, unnoticed birds. Thank you, Lord. Naturalists tell us that there are approximately 35,000 bald eagles in the U.S. and Canada. But I thought about this, Deacon Griffith. How come nobody took the time to care enough to count the number of sparrows? But wait a minute, I got an answer. Only God. Only God. We can easily imagine a little sparrow that is hatched and lives its life in obscurity and then suddenly falls down dead after maybe a few short years. Nobody on planet Earth would even notice or care. But Jesus said right here in the text, not a single sparrow is forgotten by God. Reason why Jesus used this illustration is to demonstrate how valuable that you are, your neighbor, and all of us are to God. He says, we are worth more than sparrows to God. And that's good news, because if his eye is on the... Now watch the text, Finley. Because Jesus didn't say God knows when a sparrow flies. Watch the text, teach Holy Ghost. He didn't say God knows when a sparrow flies. He said God notices when a sparrow falls. That means, Sister Cargill, when it dies. And Jesus didn't say that God prevented the sparrow from falling to the earth. He simply knows about it, and he cares. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, here it is. The truth is, sometimes we fail and we fall. And we think that we've disappointed God and that he no longer cares for us. But God knows when you fall, and he still loves you. He still loves you. So you don't have to be afraid. Because God has promised that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He watches over every sparrow that falls. So you can be certain that he is watching over you. He knows everything that you're concerned about. He knows everything that you're worried about. He knows everything that you're thinking about. He knows everything that you're desiring. But every now and then, even in our desires, it comes to that brokenness that he says, that's what we got to desire and long for. That's what he wants, because he wants us to be according to his will. So as I get ready to close, I've come to reiterate the message of the Lord, our Savior, our King, and our Redeemer. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Speaks to somebody because you're worried about your finances. Speaks to somebody because you're worried about your health. You're worried about a loved one. You're worried about a circumstance or a situation that's weighing down on your spirit. But every time you drop to your knees, you fall on your face in fear, Jesus reaches down and he touches you. And he says, don't be afraid. It's going to be okay. They cannot touch your soul. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. And then, after hearing Jesus say those words to you, you can leave those fears behind and say, I'm not afraid. For if his eye is on the sparrow, then I know he watches over me. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed and every heart is praying.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely?
Think about whatever it is that you're afraid of, that you're worried about, you're concerned.
When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he.
Glory.
And I know he watches over me. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches.
See, it's right here. It's right here. You can lift your head. You can lift your head now. There you go. Woo!
Because I'm free.
and I know He watches me.
He watches me.
His eye is on the sparrow, and I know.
The doors of the church are open. Stand to your feet. And in order for you to be truly set free, and in order for you to be able to sing because you're happy, you got to know that if you left this earth on today, that you know where your soul would rest in eternity. Because the fact of the matter is, our spirits are going to rest in eternity somewhere. Place called heaven. Or as Jesus even pointed out in the scripture, a place called hell. Both places are prepared places for prepared people. And if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God has raised him, that the Lord Jesus and God has raised him from the dead, then you are preparing yourself to be with your maker on the day that your soul is required. But if in your deciding, you decide that, no, I don't think I need to do that today. I don't think that that's what I choose to do right now. Then you are preparing yourself for a place of eternity that when your soul is required and you have not done those steps, then it will be eternally too late. The Bible says that God desires that none would perish. God doesn't send people to hell. People choose. And even an indecision is a decision. And as sad and as discomforting as the situation in Las Vegas has been, I'm stuck on the fact that they still want to know why this crazy madman did what he did. And my heart breaks for those people who went to that concert not thinking or believing that that was going to be their last day on earth. So our hearts should break for anybody that we don't know their situation that died on that day and went to a Christless grave. Now we won't know, but we'll find out for sure when we stand in judgment. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but you got to know that he's going to deal with our judgment. So we need to understand, and in order for you to sing because you're happy, and in order to sing because you're free, you need to be freed from the penalty of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we are all physically alive and spiritually dead until our spirits are quickened by the Holy Spirit. The next call of petition is to somebody, however, who says, you know what? I've been set free from the debilitating fears, worried about my future, worried about what might happen to me, worried about if this or that. I sing because I'm happy, because I'm not worried about what's happening around me. And I've been set free from some folk who are trying to have control over my mind, over my life. I've been set free from some stuff that has been racking my brain, holding me down. God has broken the chains of the shackles. That's why I've been set free. Why don't you come? You can come for a prayer.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.